Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome, welcome. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. It's the online home for all things Penn State football. Dustin Hawkinsmith here. Greg Pickle is here right next to me, talking some Penn State football. We're going to lead off here with we're going to lean on Greg's experience as a recruiting reporter covering Penn State for a while now. I just want to go back and find out some of the best talker, the best athlete, all kinds of things like that. We'll call it Greg's superlatives. So we'll get to that in just a moment. I also want to break down early win total projections,
yeah.
Big Ten title odds projections, or national title odds projections, and try to find some value there, what you've got experience with, Greg. So we'll run through some of the teams in the Big Ten. Obviously, the big ones, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, we'll focus on them because they're the real viable national-type contenders. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. A little round of buy or sell is coming up. I'm just going to throw a few more statements. Again, going to be all about Greg, whether he buys or sells them. And then still all about Greg. Ask Greg.
Busy day.
Your questions for him, talking Penn State football and Penn State recruiting. So it's a very Greg-centric show. And for that, what could go wrong here?
Plenty. Where should we begin?
So one thing, and this is the thing that I'm most curious about, because you interact with targets, commits, yeah. Recruits every step along the way in all kinds of different settings, right? So phone, in person, at these events. Going back to, let's say, I don't know whether you want to go back to Franklin's first year just the wealth of your experience, who the best interviews are.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just go class by class, and I'll kick it off back in the class of 2014. And this is really going to come as no surprise. And it wasn't necessarily a James Franklin recruit, but Trace McSorley wasn't bad, but Marcus Allen was really good. Yeah. And in that class, he's number one, and Jason Cavendish was a very close second. And if you see how those two guys interact with the media now, Dustin, I don't think you're going to really be shocked to hear that answer. Those guys were always front and center, always willing to talk, always willing to share their opinion. And, you know, moving ahead to the class of 2015, just sort of looking down the list here, Andre Robinson was really good. Steven Gonzalez was a guy that you could always get a hold of, and he usually had some interesting thoughts. Jake Cooper was the same way. So out of his first two classes, it's those two guys that really stand out to me. And I seem to recall Tommy Stevens actually being Penn State obviously wasn't in with him completely until a little bit later in the game. But once it was, and he was a guy that needed to be talked to more and more, I thought that he was very good more often than not. Michael Mennett in the 2016 class was, again, unsurprisingly, one of the guys that was pretty easy to get a hold of. Jake Zembic was really good. He was very insightful. I believe he might have a record for a number of appearances on this show, if I'm not mistaken.
Him and Sean Clifford, it's close between the two of them.
Yeah, overall, I'd have to probably say in the totality of Franklin recruiting classes, I think I'd probably put Clifford at the top of the list at this point. I mean, he just very well spoken, very good at communicating the message for the program and for himself. I would put Jesse Lucchetta up there too, and let's not forget Micah Parsons as well.
So on this show, we've had quite a few of them over the years, and you look back and it's kind of like a stroll down memory lane. Sean Clifford is probably at the top of the list for me. There's just, you know, quarterbacks are communicators by nature. It's their job on the field. I used to kind of go through, and I wondered if you could ever make a connection between the caliber of an athlete's interview and how good they can be at their sport. And I used to think that there was a connection. I don't think there's any connection there whatsoever.
No.
Some guys talk, some guys don't. Some guys get nervous with a tape recorder or whatever in their face, some guys don't.
Yeah.
It means nothing for their athletic careers, but Juwan Johnson was really good here too. Lamont Wade, I liked a lot. And Mike Miranda, you know, he was
always good too.
He was pretty fun and refreshing and had a sort of bluntness and an honesty and a sense of humor. So those were all good times. What about, I don't want to say worst talker, but guys who weren't a big fan of doing the interviews.
Yeah, you know, Shane Simmons didn't really care much to chat. I mean, he was usually pretty good about getting back to you, but he wasn't necessarily the biggest talker you're ever going to find. Mostly, it's almost always offensive linemen. Yeah. Mike Miranda's a very not normal case when it comes to, right. to you know being the offensive lineman that loves the media spotlight. I guess Michael Mennett's a little bit like that as well. But C.J. Thorpe was generally speaking not. He's just one of those guys that let his play talk for him.
It baffles me. So yeah. We had him on this show, and it sounded like he was like walking across campus or something. Yeah. There's wind blowing and everything, and that's fine. But you see him in like these videos and his personality on the field. And I know like for spring practice, he was mic'd up and he was excited and excitable. And he talks a lot on the field, which James Franklin mentioned. And he just wasn't a big fan. And maybe it was me. Maybe you have to consider that too.
Perhaps, but I don't think so. You know, Iter Grosmatos was never a guy to expound on in things. Ryan Bates was just like he is now. He just, you know, he tells you what you want to hear and what you ask him about. There's not much more coming.
No
after
elaboration
that.
Yeah, whatsoever.
Right.
It's
here's my answer. Thank you and have a nice day. So those guys jump out at me on that list.
What about and you know, this is one that will be backed up by recruiting rankings, but just most spectacular athletic feats that you've seen in your travels, whether that's Penn State commits or otherwise.
Yeah. You know, we saw Saquon Barkley do some pretty neat things once he got to Penn State, but as a recruit, you necessarily didn't see it. So I'm going to leave him off the list for now. But in terms of guys, I mean, we watched Michael Mennett one day down at Reading before Penn State lost to Temple at Lincoln Financial Field a couple years ago. And I mean, he was the punter. He was the defensive end. He blocked a punt, I think. He was the offensive lineman. He caught passes from tight end. I mean, everything he did, it was just mind-blowing how good he was and how just athletic he was. And that's why there were so many people, myself included, and I think you were probably in this boat too, just so high on him coming out of high school as a guy that could contribute almost immediately. And it didn't really work out yet. It seems like it's finally starting to, so that's good news for him and for the program. But yeah, he was a guy that will always stick with me that night where he just physically dominated whatever throwaway team they were playing. I don't think it was a team that was maybe at the lower end of the spectrum either. I think it was a pretty respectable opponent. And
Exeter's a big school.
Yeah.
So they were playing other big schools,
and he took care of business and was really, really impressive. Watched Justin Shorter at a camp last year, I guess it was, down in New Jersey, and he was just heads and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, he was just clearly a five-star talent, and that's obviously sort of bore itself out now as he gets ready to arrive at Penn State in a month and 2 weeks. So I mean, I think that he was one of the guys too that just really jumped out to me as a guy that, you know, even though he was a four-star at the time, I remember coming back here and sitting across from you like we are right now, and you know, we're talking about the fact that this kid has a five-star talent, and you were on that boat very, very early, and he certainly has risen to be one of the top players in the country, and a guy that for Penn State, I think they expect him to play pretty much right away. So we'll see how that shakes out for them. But yeah, I mean, those are the guys that really sort of jumped out to me. I liked what I saw from C.J. Thorpe and Lamont Wade anytime they were on the field, especially in Hershey for the various championship games. Those guys never failed to impress as well.
And Micah Parsons, obviously. I think the thing that always impressed the most when you're watching Micah Parsons
him
as a runner.
Yeah.
Because where he's at 6'3", 240 or 235, whatever Penn State lists him at, he would be an enormous college runner.
Right.
And like Michael Mennett, he plays in the highest classification at Harrisburg. But it just looks like, I mean, he's a man amongst boys, I guess, is the moral of the story. He just shouldn't move the way that he moves. But in the camp settings, I remember it seemed to be a real point of pride for him to be able to play cornerback and cover in the slot and play linebacker and come off the edge and play running back. And you saw him running routes and stuff as a wide receiver. He liked to do all that stuff. And it's not like he could play wide receiver. I mean, maybe he could play wide receiver in college if he really trained for that. But he was one of those rare guys who you just saw him being able to play pretty much anywhere at the college level.
At any time, really, too. Yeah. No, I don't know why I left him off the list. I was looking more back into the previous years. But
sometimes
no
the most obvious thing is the one that you look past, justify winning the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, you just had to get it in.
I did. Well, me too. I'm guilty of that, too. What's the most surprising thing you've seen in Penn State recruiting since 2014?
What was that kid's name? Hang on a sec. Let me double check. The commitment they got from
Greg's doing the speaking.
Dante Raymond, when he committed to Penn State, this was back in 2013 from Rahway, New Jersey. And I remember thinking to myself, who is Dante Raymond? And it's not that there's anything wrong with him, but he was committed to Delaware, and I guess Bill O'Brien offered him a scholarship, or maybe not. I don't know, but I know they had some space left in that class. But I was just so floored when that commitment happened, because, like I said, I'm like, who is Dante Raymond? And then I think he ended up going to Lackawanna, and now he's not at I think he's at Delaware, perhaps now.
All roads lead back,
right,
to the first state,
right? But yeah, don't they all? But yeah, that was one of the bigger shockers I could remember. That was back in 2013. I thought for sure that Christian Wilkins was going to Penn State. I still, to this day, can't believe how sort of – I guess if you went back and read the tea leaves, you could have saw the Clemson pledge coming for him, and he's obviously a stud down there now. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I thought for sure he was Penn State's all the way. And then, you know, another one that sort of got me off guard a little bit was when Brandon Wimbush committed and then decommitted. It was just a weird – really weird setup. He wasn't going to make a decision, and then all of a sudden he was going to announce the same day Sterling Jenkins did, and one was going to do Bleacher Report, one was going to do, I think Jenkins did KDKA out in Pittsburgh, and they sort of had this whole plan together, and it just felt rushed. Something didn't feel right about it, and that one was a little bit of a surprise too. So I think those three things probably lead the list for me. There could be a couple others that could jump in there, but I think those three are the ones that really, you know, sort of come to mind immediately.
Where does Quinn Nordine's commitment, the Penn State commitment video, rank?
Top five.
It's not any of these categories. It's the weirdest thing, I think, for me.
I think that's got to be, yeah. In terms of the stranger things we've seen, that has to be number one. I mean, that was just...
All the way down to the song choice.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that would be close to that would be just the way Zade Issa's recruitment played out. I mean, It looked like things were going to go the right way. Then they didn't. Then the summer comes, and I'll never forget being in the car on the way to a Phillies game and, you know, whatever happened with him up in State College. I think it was Arts Fest weekend happened, and it just sort of all went downhill. But, yeah, that's up there as well. But, yeah, Quinn and the whole airplane thing, and then getting out of the airplane, and then eventually having the sleepover with Harbaugh. I mean, the whole thing just – that was – definitely one of the stranger recruiting moments ever, not just
but
Penn
here's
State,
here's the thing about recruiting. It's always going to raise the bar.
Yeah.
Real quick, the most brutal decommit got to be Justin Fields, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, here's a guy that could have been your you know, quarterback for the future. And don't get me wrong, he could end up not working out at Georgia. Wimbush is kind of the same thing. We're going through that right now. But yeah, that's easy pick.
And then the best flip, it's Saquon Barkley from Rutgers to Penn State. I don't think that's a question at all. That was an obvious one.
That was worth 2 seconds that we took. Yes.
All right, we're going to lean more on Greg's expertise in the next segment too, talking about title odds, national title odds, early win totals projected for the Big Ten. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.